So we've been doing this series, In the Shadow of the Cross, and we're looking at different characters as we're coming up to Easter. And this morning we're looking at the soldiers. I'm sure you've heard the phrase, I'm just doing my job. I'm just doing my job. And you hear that in two ways. You hear it, you know, where you have a fireman who rescues, goes into a blazing building, and it's coming all around him, and he makes it in and brings out a child. And the press want to interview him with his heroic things he's done. And he hears all that and listens to that, but he just says, I'm just doing my job. I'm just doing what anyone else should be doing. And he plays down his bravery. He just says, I'm just doing my job. I'm nothing special. But you also have... Forgive any traffic wardens among us. But you also have the traffic warden, and you've parked your car, and half the wheel's on the curb, and you come back, and there's a ticket, and he's standing writing out a ticket. And you think, well, it's only half wheel on the curb, but what harm is it doing, or whatever? And you start remonstrating with the traffic warden, and he just keeps on writing. And he just says, I'm just doing my job. I'm just doing my job. I have to obey the rules, and so do you. So two different ways we have this idea of, I'm just doing my job. And when I read this passage, actually I found, I printed it all out, and I took a highlighter and started going through the they and the thems that referred to the soldiers. And I mean, I've read this passage before, many of us have. And you don't see it on a phone or on the gap, but when you see it out like that, I actually was shocked with the number of references, the number of the they and the them refer not to the crowd or people in general, but to the soldiers. When you read it, read carefully and think, who is that they and that them? And it actually is the soldiers here in John 19. And it's inferred in the passage that there was four of them, three squaddies, as we'd say, and a centurion. The centurion, a guy who had much battle experience, who had worked his way up through the ranks over the years. You know, brutal, hardened, they were effective, terrifying, fearful killing machines. The Roman army, that's what they were. And these guys were just doing their job. Rome said, jump, and they asked, how high? I'm just doing my job. And this morning I want us to think about three things: the ignorance of the soldiers, the indifference of the soldiers, and the impact on the soldiers. Almost like a Presbyterian service. The ignorance of the soldiers, the indifference of the soldiers, and the impact on the soldiers. And first of all, the ignorance of the soldiers. And ignorance, I don't mean, and probably were quite uncouth, okay, but it's the definition of ignorance meaning not knowing things, okay? So we're looking here at verse John's, and if you've got your Bible with you, please do open it, follow it. We're in John 19 for the most of this, but we will jump around. So in John 19, at the end of verse 16, so the soldiers took charge of Jesus. Jesus carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on each side, and Jesus in the middle. The Bible gives very little detail about what crucifixion involved. Isn't that surprising? It doesn't go through all the details of what a crucifixion was, how it happened. It just states, there they crucified him. Imagine the screams and abuse those soldiers took from one criminal and then another, as those soldiers held down hands and feet, and they drove dirty, great big iron nails through flesh and blood and bone into a wooden cross. Boy, they took some abuse, the squeals and yelling, but they were just doing their job. They must have been hard men to do that, mustn't they? They must have been hard men to do that. This was personal. not shooting somebody from a distance, not, you know, we talk about eyeball to eyeball. This was eyeball to eyeball. These were hard men who were inflicting such pain close up, wriggling flesh, and they nailed through it. And they did one, and then the other, and only one more to go, Jesus. And they pinned Jesus down, and Scripture is clear. He doesn't fight. He doesn't curse them. He doesn't squeal at them. Maybe they think the beating he got from Pilate's bodyguards earlier in the morning has made him too weak. After all, he stumbled with the cross. Or maybe he's weak. There's no fight in him. Well, it'll make our job easier. Just another crucifixion. Just doing my job. And before they raised the cross and dropped it into the socket in the ground, they nailed the charge written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek, the King of the Jews. Latin, Aramaic, and Greek. And even these soldiers could read that. Did they taunt Jesus? Certainly they did later. Luke tells us that later they mocked Jesus. The soldiers mocked Jesus. We know that the leaders did, but it also says the soldiers mocked Jesus. If you're the King of the Jews, save yourselves. They joined in the sport. They had a whole day to put in. They were just doing their job. But as that last cross dropped into its socket, and Jesus' body was jolted with agonizing pain, as they checked everything was in order, Jesus spoke. And only they heard it with their own ears, they would not have believed it. Because Jesus spoke to them. And of all the routine crucifixions they had done before or were ever to do again, they would never hear these words again. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. I wonder, did they note his head, Jesus' head, turned up to heaven, speaking to some God or other in heaven? Father, forgive them. Forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. These same words may have been correctly applied to the crowd, the Jewish leaders, even Pilate, who had taken a condemned man and said he was innocent but still went on and condemned him. They might have been applied to all of them. But Luke 23, verses 32 and 34, if you read them, it's actually very clear that Jesus said them to the soldiers. To the soldiers who crucified him. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And as shocking as those words were, coming from somebody that they just crucified, the soldiers turned away and sat down on the ground, Luke tells us. They sat down on the ground and started sharing out the booty. They were ignorant. Ignorant of the fact that this King of the Jews was indeed, in John's word, the Lamb of God taking away the sin of the world. You see, they were just doing their job. The ignorance of the soldiers. And then we have the indifference of the soldiers. I'm going to read John 19, beginning at verse 23. Please listen carefully. When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. Let's not tear it, they said to one another. Let's decide by lot who will get it. And this happened that the scripture might be fulfilled that said, they divided my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment. So this is what the soldiers did. You see, it was all routine to them. Somebody has to do it. We were on You know, we were on rota that day. Somebody had to do it. I'm just doing my job. But they got to keep the spoils. In total humiliation and degradation of Jesus, Jesus was stripped completely naked, and they got his clothes. And as they sat on the ground, they divided out his clothes. Probably the centurion got the first pick, and then down to the youngest getting the last. Just leaving one quite expensive undergarment. So they cast lots for it. Sitting there on the ground, keeping watch over everything, checking everything was okay, they gambled his clothes. They were indifferent to what was going on the cross. Can you imagine the next week? Somebody will be walking around Jerusalem in a new, to them, pair of sandals. And somebody asked them, "Where'd you get those?" "Oh, I got them off one of the soldiers. I got a good price for it because he was looking cash." One of those men who was crucified. They were his. He doesn't need them anymore. They cast lots for Jesus' clothes. But their indifference and routine was no surprise to God. They were just getting on with it, but God knew all about it. And in their indifference and self-seeking behavior, they were actually fulfilling a prophecy from long ago. Isn't it surprising how indifferent the soldiers are to the death of Jesus and to what they are watching as they sit on the ground? Here we are reading about it. They were right beside it. It was happening in their very midst, and they're just indifferent to it. Isn't that surprising? Maybe not. Not really. See, many of us today, and many in our society, know the story about Calvary, know the story about what happened that day when Jesus was on the cross. Now, they would have nothing to do with the barbaric nature of Jesus' death, but they share the indifference of the soldiers. And maybe if you're sitting here this morning, this is all very well, but you still actually share some of that indifference of the soldiers. There's a very famous poem written by Jeffrey Stoddard Kennedy. I'm going to read the first two verses of it, and I've changed one word, and I'm sure you'll recognize that word. It's called indifference. When Jesus came to Golgotha, they hanged him on a tree. They drove great nails through hands and feet and made a Calvary. They crowned him with a crown of thorns. Red were his wounds and deep, for those were crude and cruel days, and human flesh was cheap. When Jesus came to Ballybean, they simply passed him by. They would not hurt a hair of him. They only let him die. For men had grown more tender, and they would not give him pain. They only just passed down the street and left him in the rain. The indifference of the soldiers. And thirdly, the impact on the centurion. He was just doing his job. But Jesus didn't curse him, but instead prayed for his forgiveness. But what does that matter to the centurion? The other criminals cursed Jesus, and yet later Jesus offers comfort and peace to one of those dying men. We said it this morning, today you'll be with me in paradise. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Today you'll be with me in paradise. But the centurion, what does that matter to him? Why should he care? When the others are crying in agony about themselves, this Jesus is sorting out care for his mother. So what? What does that matter to him? But then, and this account is taken from Luke 23. If you want to turn up to Luke 23, and we're going to look at verse 44 onwards. It says, "It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m, for the sun stopped shining." Luke 23, 44 and 45. "And for 3 hours, there was a darkness that you could have," you know what we talk about, you could cut it. "There was a darkness that went through to your soul." How quiet it must have been that from noon to 3 o'clock, there was that darkness that came over the whole earth. How still. I'm sure fear hung in the air. How long is this going to last? And yet that stillness was broken by one voice, because it says, "At 3 p.m, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, 'Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani,' which means, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?' And after one of the soldiers gave him a sup from their own flask of wine vinegar to revive his parched mouth and lips, the centurion stepped forward, his attention firmly fixed on the man who was on the middle cross. And it says in verse 46, Jesus called out in a loud voice, 'Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.' When he said this, he breathed his last. 'Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.' And when he said this, Jesus breathed his last. And as the earth shook violently with the earthquake and the night became day again, Scripture says, when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said, 'Surely this man was the Son of God.'" Think of what he's just experienced, but note where he stood. Where he stood. He stood there in front of Jesus. No longer is he on the ground sorting out things. He's moved when he heard the voice, and he's standing there in front of Jesus. Probably there's no one any closer at that point. This, perhaps, centurion is the perfect witness. If you read at the end of John, it talks about a perfect witness. Maybe this centurion is the perfect witness of all that happened at that cross. But he stood there in front of Jesus. And note what he saw. He saw how he died. Yes, he saw the attitude of Jesus for this last 6 hours. He saw that darkness over the land. He felt the ground shake beneath his feet. But that's not where he was looking. See what it says? He saw how he died. And yes, that might have included Jesus' attitude, but the thing that really struck him was how he died. I'm sure the centurion had lost count of the number of men he had watched died, who he had personally killed. He was a killing machine. That was his job. And on their blood, he'd gone up the ranks. Why is a centurion? Because he's efficient at what he's doing, killing people. But he says he noted how Jesus died. He had never seen this before. Men on the cross die long and slow deaths. When they reported the death of Jesus, the centurion had to go and sort it all out, because nobody believed that a man on the cross could be dead already. Men on the cross die long and slow deaths. This man had some inner strength when he talked up to some God in heaven, and he just breathed his last or gave up his spirit. How did he do that? How did he just die? When he decided, that man on the cross, long before his time, just died. He gave up his spirit. And the centurion saw how he died. That's not the way it's supposed to work. And the third thing was what he said. Note what he said. Surely this man was the Son of God. This was the issue. This has been the center of the dispute. This is why Jesus was put on trial. This is the point in which Christ's enemies have taken him to trial. His disciples had believed it. They believed he was the Son of God, but they were afraid to confess it. The Jews had heard it, but they refused to accept it. And standing on guard duty in the darkened shadow of the cross, the centurion now witnessed it, and he made his confession. Did he believe that Jesus was the one and only Son of the one true God, who for us men and for our salvation died, was not killed, but died on the cross for the sins of all mankind? I doubt it. Not from a Roman soldier who knows lots of gods, but still he made a very profound statement, even if it may not yet be a saving one. He made a very profound statement, even if yet it may not be a saving one. And you see, the last words, if you read through the accounts of the crucifixion, the last words from the scene of the crucifixion are not from a Jew declaring that Jesus is the Son of God. They're not even from one of the disciples declaring that Jesus is the Son of God. The last word comes from a heathen centurion that probably only has met Jesus 9 hours before this. From a heathen, but he saw how Jesus died. A heathen, ignorant. He knew nothing about all the things that we would understand. Ignorant and indifferent Roman soldier. It is he who has the last word from Calvary. Something happened. Something remarkable happened in this most unlikely of men as he stood there in front of Jesus, as he saw how Jesus died. I hope he became a disciple. Jesus wants disciples. I hope he became a disciple, but we don't know for sure. And maybe that's part of why this is in the scriptures, to make us think, where are we? Do we make confessions like that, or have we become disciples? Praise God. God still does amazing things in the lives of the most unlikely people. Most unlikely people. But what about us? We've looked at the ignorance of the soldiers, what they didn't know, their indifference, but the impact on one. You and I are not ignorant of the claims of Jesus. You know, no matter how little you know far more than all those soldiers put together about Jesus. They were just doing their job. But you know, there's a way we come into church can just be doing our job, just going through the motions, sing a song, some money on the plate, have a prayer, and we can have the same indifference as those soldiers had. And if you like, we're as close to the cross. But indifference isn't just it's not just the soldiers who can be indifferent. So can we. There can be indifference in our hearts as we go through the motions of religion. What's that got to do with me? Jesus died for sinners. Oh yeah, but I'm not a bad person. Jesus died for sinners, but I'm not a bad person. What impact has the death of Jesus had on you? Have you ever, in your mind's eye, stood in front of Jesus? Remember that guy? He stood in front of Jesus. Have you ever stood in your mind's eye in front of Jesus and watched him die? Or do you make sure you're at the back of the crowd where the view isn't so good? When the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." What's your confession of faith? And have you moved from a confession of faith to becoming a disciple of Jesus? Ignorance, indifference, impact. Heathen soldiers, the shadow of the cross, let's learn from them.